The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
It's me, Michael Rupert. I'm back. It's 2012. We made it. Phew. I mean, the changes over the last 3 weeks feel like about 3 years, and it's good in the new year to be reassembling and reestablishing old patterns that give meaning, like this radio show does, and boy, I have missed you guys. This is an anchor point for my week, and I'm glad to be back with you. There's been just a lot going on. Like I was telling Gary before the show started, this year has not waited to start throwing stuff at us, and so we're moving on that too. We got a great guest next week, Michelle Chelsidowski, professor of economics at University of Ottawa, one of the greatest researchers and most courageous writer, reporters, academics in the world to challenge the criminality which is now running everything out here. Michelle and I go way back. Michelle was one of the pioneers on 9/11, and he'll be with us for an hour next week. Mark your calendar for that. That's going to be a heck of a show. Also got, I haven't contacted him yet, but I've just come across this amazing book. I heard an interview with Robert Neuwirth, N-E-U-W-I-R-T-H, a radio interview that we had on the World News Desk at CollapseNet. And this is a guy who is traveling the world, seeing the way an informal economy is evolving, and I'm going to be reading the book this next week. We're going to get him lined up on the show, so we got work to do. We sure do, because there's a lot of messed up things out there. Just in case you don't know how appreciate how quickly things are changing, today is the first anniversary of the shooting of Representative Gabrielle Giffords in Tucson. That was just a year ago. We have been busy. And it's not good busy. It depends on how you look at it and what the outcome is like. But just in the last 3 weeks, of course, we have seen some amazing developments. The United States of America officially died on New Year's Eve when President Barack Obama signed an unconstitutional law, the National Defense Authorization Act, allowing and providing for unlimited, undefined, open-ended, warrantless, chargeless detention of American citizens, both by police and military. We have realized, or maybe more people are starting to realize the abject stupidity, depravity, cupidity of world leaders. Every nation, every national government in the world is failing its people right now. And it's like I said to Gary at the top of the show right before we started, man, there's 7 billion of us out here, and 6,999,000,000 of us know that this is bullshit that's being put out by the U.S. government, that Iran's building nuclear weapons, and none of us want this war, which could well kill all of us. We have a lot of catching up to do, but I had this great trip down to Los Angeles, and I had the Joe Rogan experience. And for those of you who don't know who Joe Rogan is, he's kind of amazing. He was a taekwondo champion master. You know, he was the host of Fear Factor, which I can only watch twice. I prefer to have my fear come real rather than set up. He does a great podcast. He gets 500,000 viewers over the course of a week, and he's got a huge following, and I can certainly see why. I did his show a couple days after Christmas. If you want to find that show, it's a three-hour interview at joerogan.net. I'm number 170. But I just watched today an interview that Joe did with Peter Joseph, who's been on, a guest on this show twice. And Peter's a friend, and he's an amazing guy. But I watched Joe interview the creator and founder of the Zeitgeist movement and do a masterful job of interviewing and just pulling all kinds of facets out of Peter. that I hadn't seen before, and that was terrific. So Joe Rogan, I'm going back to check some other shows with him. I have to. There's just quite a few cool people he gets on his shows, and what he does is like, it's a good chiropractic mind adjustment. So Joe's really cool. You're out there, Joe. You did me real good, but I got to tell you, Joe, you did me real bad. And I'm joking about that. And as you know, if you've been looking at CollapseNet this week, we have been, not just this week, but for a while, but it certainly hit a crescendo this week. Massive cyber attacks. I mean, DDoS attacks, but also into our email, resetting codes. And the staff at CollapseNet has just been superhuman in responding to these attacks. People have gotten into they get into our private emails, and it has been taking, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours to do a 20-minute job because you keep getting kicked off the site, you know, or things don't load, and everybody at CollapseNet has just pulled together beautifully, and we put out a call for help last week. And we needed it. And we did get some help. We've had some technical help. We've had some other help as well. And we think we've got a handle on it, but it has really hurt because one of the things they took out was our ability to make sales. And quite a few people at CollapseNet are going without pay these next 2 weeks, including me. Wouldn't be the first time for all of us, but the IT people who have held us together, we have to keep paying them. And I put up a notice today on the website announcing that we had pretty much rounded the bend on the attacks. And it was funny because as soon as I set that out and they put it up, I got an email from staff saying all the PayPal functions are shut on the website and nobody can get to. So we still need your help. I think we're going to be able to pull out of these attacks. And clearly those attacks, I think, were prompted by the success of my appearance on Joe Rogan. He's got a powerful reach, and he's a cool dude. And plus, we've been very, very outspoken, and I have been, about the follies being committed around the Persian Gulf right now, the abject stupidity of it all. And the lies that are being told by governments, and of course, events have been bearing me out. So I've been a severe thorn in the side, and I think they were upset when they realized that I was reaching more people as a result of Joe Rogan. So thank you, Joe. I feel like a tag team. I'm the guy who just got hit with the chair in the ring. Now you jump in and kick some butt. So we do need your help, and we have a support independent journalism button on the page. I don't know if it's functional yet tonight, but. On this program before, I have not hesitated to have many other causes on, Transition US and other people, and asked you to be generous and send your support. And I'm going to ask that of you tonight for CollapseNet, because I'm going to tell you this right now. You need us, and we know you need us, and we're doing stuff that nobody else in the world can do right now. So get out a pen and get out something to write on, if you would, please. We need you. You need us. Send us whatever you can to CollapseNet Special Fund. CollapseNet Special Fund, 708 North Gravenstein Highway. That's Gravenstein Highway. Box 266. Box 266 in Sebastopol, California, 95472. And you can bet we're going to stay in this ring and in this fight as long as we can. We're getting like 45,000 visitors a day at CollapseNet now, uniques, in spite of all of this. And we've got, we do have some things that we're trying to bring online to make us better, more efficient. We have some changes. The problem is that we have not been able to actually get into the website to do any of that work for a while. So that's a mark of our success. But I want you to hear the spirit in my voice, and I think the song we're going to play tonight, it's got a funny story. I'll tell you that in a minute. We'll just get in your head that we got our juices up, we got everything flowing, we're in the game, and we got a lot of work to do. So I needed to do that and thank all you guys so much. We do have I just saw this. There's a caller on the line already. Andrew, are you there?
Yes. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going? I've been waiting a long time to talk to you. well, I guess not in person, but over the phone. I've been following your work for about 5 years. I'm 26 years old. So, you know, before Collapse, Ned, and the movie and everything. And I wanted to just call because it seemed like an appropriate time to say thank you. You know, the powers that be, as we call them, it's gotten to the point where they're really threatening, you know, you could throw out the old talks of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At this point, I would just call it the right to survive.
That's exactly what it is. That's well said.
And I just, everything that's going on, you know, we can talk about the NDAA, among many things, attacking trade, obviously, by crashing CollapseNet. You know, there's just a whole host of issues. And for myself, you know, like I said, I'm 26, and I've written you a couple times. And, you know, this generation, my generation, I guess you'd say, grew up in the 90s, you know, we got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
you got a big mess.
We got a big mess. And, you know, we probably came in at a point where things seemed to be very good during, you know, we grew up in the 90s. So, but obviously that's coming to an end, and I don't know how many friends are crippled with student debt.
Mm.
And, you know, I just wanted to say thank you for your work, because you know, there are other people out there, and I wrote you earlier this week because I couldn't get to you on CollapseNet because CollapseNet's been hacked.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, I just wanted to say, you know, thank you so much for everything you've done for me, and I think I speak for a lot of people, just to get past the friggin' Cartesian dualism. Why?
Yeah, well, Andrew, thanks a lot, man, and I also want to share that thank you with everybody at CollapseNet, because there has been some heroic work done by all 21 of us over the last week or 10 days, and we all appreciate it. I remember when Crossing the Rubicon first came out, any time I autographed a book for someone who was like in their 20s, and I wrote "I'm sorry" in there. You know, it's like somebody from my generation was saying to somebody from your generation that there were people from my generation who were not bad guys, you know, and we really tried to leave you something better. And I think we've all been successful at that. I think we're being more successful than we know. Anyway, Andrew, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. And one more thing. I know you said PayPal was down and it sucks. The advice I was going to have for people, if they wanted to help out, was just to double up their memberships each month if they can't give a lump sum. But it sounds, you know, that's what I did for about 5 or 6 months until a couple months ago. But, you know, PayPal's down. So
that'll keep us in the game, that's for sure. So we just got another call from someone. Thank you, Andrew. From someone asking if we'd repeat the PO address for the CollapseNet Special Fund. Yes, I'm happy to do that. Thank you. I don't do this very often, so I'm not as practiced as Jerry Lewis, I guess. CollapseNet Special Fund, 708 North Gravenstein Highway, Gravenstein Highway, Box 266 in Sebastopol, California. That's Sebastopol, Sebastopol, California, 95472. And thanks again for asking. Good, we need your help. We are in this together. That has to do with the song that's coming up. I keep teasing you about that. I'm going to play it here in a few minutes. So let's take a look at what the hell's going on right now. The situation over the war with Iran, the battle for Iran, World War III, is progressively getting worse, and as forces on both sides are mobilized and test and do their war games and do their things, it's very clear that the world is positioning itself. By the world, I mean the United States, Russia, China, Iran, and all the major superpowers. our positioning for a final conflict, which would be nuclear, and it's looking very much like it's going to be that way. There's no doubt that Iran can close the Straits of Hormuz at any time. I have no doubt that they can do it. And it doesn't make any difference what the U.S. does. The price of oil will be out of orbit. It'll be out of the solar system in a very short period of time. Combine that with the fact that pressure continues to mount on Syria, and Syria is the point at which the battle for Iran will be joined. In other words, there will be no turning back from World War III if and when a no-fly zone appears over Syria. And there's just such a lot of wagging the dog going on around Syria, and it's so clear that they're trying to repeat a slightly more intricate dance like they did in Libya with regime change in Syria, and that will start World War III. So the lunatics are definitely in charge. But in the meantime, every economic solution they're proposing everywhere in the world is failing miserably. It's just tanking. The global economy is in a tailspin, which doesn't make it any less likely that we're going to have a war. So, and yet, it's like, what's the deal here with 7 billion people on the planet, and all of us know these are lying criminals? We need that 100th monkey. We need that massive awakening of consciousness. And I was really glad for that with Joe Rogan. Joe's an aware dude, and everybody needs a little dose of a much larger reality so that we can get our heads out of our collective asses before we kill ourselves. That's a good setup for the song. So I played Diane Patterson last week. You're going to be hearing a lot of her with a great song, High Sierra Morning. Well, this is a song that's kind of a mystery song. But I'm coming out of the holidays, you know, with the sense of it's like I've been a bear hibernating, you know, kind of shut down, and that's what you do around this time. But I'm feeling the urge to start the juices flowing. And so this song had been sent to me, I guess, about 2 weeks ago by Facebook, but I had email disappearing out of my email box, inbox. And I kind of lost track of it, and then I got it all together again. I really don't know the story of this song. Somebody sent it to me, and it was supposed to be getting a final mix done. The song is by a group, according to the YouTube page where I find it, by a group called the Supreme Love Gods. From what I see looking them up, I don't see them as an active band yet. This is, from what I understand, it's a brand new song. And I have to tell you, I come from the age of the 60s. And I remember how the really, really good protest songs would just give you energy. They would fire you up. They would give you some juice. And I think coming out of the New Year's holiday and the change of the year to 2012 is already running like an MF, and we need to keep running with it. So I found this song. It's called We Are All Together by the Supreme Love Gods. If you like the Beatles, you'll love this, but let's get our juices flowing. It's a good song. Let's go. no, that gets my blood moving. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Before we go to break, I want to read a little letter. Someone took a great amount of time and effort to write me a letter. It came in a PDF form. It might be a little slow reading as I switch between pages, but you put so much work into it, and I had to share this with you guys because those of you who have known me for a long time, you'll kind of probably go through the same emotional reaction as that I did as I read this. But it's an interesting thing that I'm going to read. I'm going to try to answer this young man named Matthew in French. And he writes, "My name is Matthew. I am 25 years old. I live near Montreal, and I'm having a hard time dealing with collapse. In May of 2010, I graduated from McGill University in management, and I now work for Kraft Canada as a sales representative. The reason I write to you is because I need your help since my troubles are related to collapse. Indeed, I'm a little bit lost in my life, and I now stand to lose my girlfriend, with whom I spent the last 4 years. She's a fundamentalist Christian, and I am not. I keep myself open to everything, yet I must admit I have some troubles with organized religions. Many of us do. I started to be aware of collapse a little bit before you found a collapse net, but I already knew of all the corruption, evil, lies that characterize our society. When I first met my girlfriend, she told me that I was like a sunshine to her. And she's from a country in the Caribbean. I was joyful, funny, and everything was simple with me. I am that same person on some levels. However, something has fundamentally changed with me. The fact of the matter is that I spent a lot of time in the last year and a half gathering information on collapse. I bought Crossing the Rubicon, Confronting Collapse, the documentary Collapse, thank you, thank you, thank you, the Grand Chessboard, Sacred Economics, and of course a series of books on 9/11 that I previously read before, really becoming aware of the economic situation and peak oil. I've spent countless hours on YouTube listening to lectures, including yours, from a variety of subjects not aligned with mainstream conventions. I am a CollapseNet member, thank you. And I listen to the Lifeboat Hour every week. In other words, I've spent a lot of time with bad news, which has transformed me in some way. Very well said. It does transform you, and you have to find the good things to offset the bad. That's how you keep a little balance. Anyway, I now find myself, he writes, discouraged from time to time when I worry about how things are going to turn out. I lost hope, I am often negative, and I have a completely different view and analysis from my friends about what is going on. My relatives find that I am pessimistic, that I lack balance, and that all of this is taking too much place in my life. I would like to change my job and go in a different area, such as nutrition, but I need this job to pay the debts I have. I tried to talk to my girlfriend into getting involved in this movement, but she refused and she thinks it is destructive. Believe that? Because of her faith, she believes that Jesus is coming back and that we're all going to be bailed out, given that we accept him as our Savior, of course. Another aspect of the problem is the following. My girlfriend wants to have children, buy a house, and live the American dream. She is aware of my philosophy as well as my view on the coming years and months. She partly shares the same view, but her thinking is that life goes on anyway and that I cannot stop living because of this, and she is right. However, I'm not going to deny this and walk away. And regarding the children, I really don't want to bring another human being on this sinking ship. In addition, she wants me to stop or greatly reduce the time I spend on collapse. She says I am not the same person she met because of this. I hope you're not. I remember in your movie Collapse, you mentioned at one point that you try to achieve balance with love and walks on the beach with your dog. You obviously spend much more time than me on those issues. So my questions to you are, and this is where you have to forgive me because I was sent a PDF, so I got to close one and open the second. And here it is. Questions. How do you keep your morale up? Does your involvement affect any of your friends or relatives? Could you give me some advice regarding my situation with my girlfriend and relatives, just in general terms, on what you would do regarding the children, the relatives, etc.? I also remember another line, the one about difficult decisions that will need to be taken. Thank you for what you do, how well you do it, and how dedicated you are. If there were more Michael Ruperts on this planet, it would be a better place. My dog thinks so. Thank you. My sincere thanks, from this world but not of it, Matthew. And he loves my dog, Rex. All right, now, that's a heavy letter, and I'm going to answer it right when we come back from station break, and then we'll be open to your calls and emails at 1-888-874-4888, or you can email me direct at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. I'm Michael C. Rupert on the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. Lifeboat Hour. That's a song that took you into the break and brought you back out of it. It's called Take These by a band called New White Trash that I was a part of. That's one of the songs that I co-wrote with the band. You can find our songs at newwhitetrash.com. I want to thank you for that. And, God, it just feels good to be back in this easy chair with you guys tonight. Okay, now, that was a heavy letter, wasn't it? So let's take the questions that Matthew asked. How do you keep your morale up? Well, I don't always keep it at the perfect level all the time. A lesson I had to learn a long time the hard way. Many, 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 many years ago, I got shot. And I didn't know that I had been shot. And somebody had to look at me and say, "You've been shot, lay down." And there are things that are happening now which are going to get our morale down, which are going to feel like kicks in the diaphragm, right in the gut. And the thing to do with those is to eat them, is to take them. And so you have to learn how to ride into the dark places, because what's happening now from a spiritual standpoint, a lot of people would say, is we are experiencing the shadow. And boy, are we. It's appropriate to acknowledge and honor your feelings when they aren't always up and happy. And other than that, last 2 weeks with the cyber attacks have just been, really tough for me. And there are times when it gets me out of a rhythm, but I do things to ground myself every day. I'm on 2.5 beautiful acres here in Sebastopol, and we sure want to keep that, and that's one of the things that's on the line here. I get out and I do something with the land almost every day, even if it's just a little bit, and I connect physically with my body and the world around me. I do prayer, I do meditation a lot, I sing, I walk, and I spend a lot of time playing with my dog. And I'm blessed here in Sebastopol to have some amazing friends, and I'm finding more all the time. Who are just wonderful people, and we're all connecting. And you will find, Matthew, as you move among the world of people who do get it, what you're going to find is a lot more of those people here, too. Does your involvement affect any of your friends or relatives? Well, both of my parents are dead. I'm an only child. I'm divorced. I have no children, so I have a dog. I have a wonderful assistant, Max Mogren. I have his partner, Danny, who's permaculturing on our 2.5 acres. And so we're all on the same page, and that does make life a lot easier. And there is a great selection going on now, which kind of brings me to the issue about your girlfriend. I have to tell you honestly. We have a caller who I have been apparently ignoring. I apologize. I just got tweaked again. Robert in Brooklyn, are you there? You've been waiting.
Oh,
a long
yeah.
Time.
Hey, Mike. Yes,
hey,
I
ma'am.
Am.
Sorry, the thing went up like 5 minutes, anyway, here you are. Go ahead.
Okay, question about Iran, because I, like you, am very concerned about what we're going to do. And I just want to paint a different scenario and have you consider it. Let's say that that China, Russia do not get involved, do not intervene in any way. After all, Libya, they didn't say anything.
They've already stated they will intervene, though. They've already categorically said that they will.
Oh, okay. If they don't, and recognizing that the United States spends so much more on its military than Iran, does Iran have the capability to defend itself, its infrastructure?
Iran has always been, and I'm coming back to Matthew in a second, Iran has always been probably one of the most difficult military targets from a geographic standpoint. For example, if you look at a map of the Middle East, if there were an airstrike launched on Iran from Israel or the Mediterranean, which was where one carrier battle group was, they would have to overfly the national airspace of either Iraq or Saudi Arabia to get to Iran. They cannot do that. That will throw the whole region into conflict. Geographically, Iran is in an unbelievably favorable defensive position. But I think Iran's greatest strength, it used to be called Persia. It's had the same borders for about 3,000 years. The borders of Iraq were drawn by Winston Churchill with a pencil in the early 1920s. Iran is a regional power. Iran is very well equipped. And there is no guarantee that the United States can pull this off. But let me just say clearly that there is a treaty, and China has said very clearly it will not tolerate any interruption of Iranian oil. And Russia has mobilized its southern armies, and it said that if there is an attack, a major strategic attack on Iran, its armies will get involved. This has been clear since I wrote Crossing the Rubicon back in 2004.
Okay. I thought there might have been some backroom deal.
No. These people are just lunatics. You have to get that clearly. These people are criminal, psychopathic lunatics who control the world. And 6,999,000,000 of us human beings know that they're lying criminal lunatics.
And thugs.
Yes. All of the above. So anyway.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Thanks for calling in. Okay. All right. A little sidetrack. Then we'll get to your other emails here. Going back to Matthew, with regard to your girlfriend's fundamentalist Christianity, you cannot win that. You will never win that. And if you stay with her, I'm just going to tell it to you straight, man. If you stay with her, then one of two things will happen. Either you will become a fundamentalist Christian or you will leave your girlfriend. I have answered too many letters like this over too much time, and I see that what's happening now, as this consciousness awakening takes place, is many families are being ripped apart, and in some very unusual ways. And this is a part of a separation. This is a part of people choosing, because this is a point where every soul at some point before this is over is going to have to choose fundamentally what it is and which side of a line it stands on. And, you know, if you're holding out any hope, Matthew, of persuading your girlfriend, don't. She's never going to wake up, because the one real flaw in the fundamentalist approach is that, sure, we have to continue trashing this because we've been given dominion. We have to keep destroying everything. We have to keep using all the resources. We have to keep denying infinite growth. We have to keep enslaving people because we're going to get bailed out and we're going to be forgiven. And to see anything else means that they might have to be responsible for what has been done by industrial civilization and the infinite growth paradigm, and they're never going to do that. So that's where I am with Matthew. Paul from Vancouver, you're on the line. Hi, it's nice to see everybody showing up. I've got about six emails. We'll get to those in a second, but hi, Paul.
Hey there, Mike. How are you?
All right.
That's great. I just wanted to make a comment about Matthew's letter and just say that, you know, we've been on this planet for millennia, and it might be better. I don't think he has anything to be afraid of.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I do know that people's lives are going to be rearranged drastically. I see that happening a lot. I mean, I get a lot of letters like this, or I get a lot of questions like this, and I have a lot of personal friends where these issues. And one of the things that I tell everybody is that you need to go see the movie Animal Mundi, which came out of Australia. You can get it now on Amazon. Thank you. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on iTunes. You know, and it's out. It's an amazing movie that kind of articulates the change in consciousness that's happening. And if people try to break their problems down into smaller components than the really big problem, I don't think they're ever going to get a good answer until they understand how fundamental the issues are right now.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of people that need to be woken up, but I don't think we're going to be able to wake them all up.
It's not our responsibility, and that's not our job. Spirit's making that decision, and people are making those decisions themselves. And there is something that we have to learn about living in this paradigm, is that there is a responsibility to experience the consequences of your actions. And I think, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people won't have a complete say in that. But anyway, Paul, thank you so much for calling with that.
Thanks for all your work, Mike.
Okay, man, thank you. Justin DiArmond, a regular, writes in tonight. Hey, Mike, great to hear your voice again. Yeah, thanks, man. Nice to see your email again. You were missed by us all over the break. Love your Joe Rogan interview, and the Peter Joseph was a great one as well. Yeah, Joe is just this kick-ass interviewer, I swear. He'd have murder suspects confessing laughing as they did. I mean, oh, he's really good. You should check out another podcast of Joe's with Jan Ervin. I think you would love him, Mike. I think he would make a great guest for your show. Well, I'm going to have to go check that out. Okay, and thanks so much for all you do, and keep the Fox magic up, man. Well, I'm glad you get the Fox magic. Joe and I are going to have a running joke about Fox magic for as long as we know each other. It's kind of fun, though. You have to watch the show. Okay, this is from Frank Damiano. I used to know a Frank Domino when I was a cop. Cool guy. Hi, Frank Damiano. Michael, with the accelerating pace of collapse, we need to do whatever reasonably possible to help reach that 100th monkey. The increases in membership on the website has been dishearteningly slow. Well, a lot of that's been the cyber attacks that have been going on now for, you know, probably 6-7 weeks. They just crescendoed recently. And although it has been a great service to offer critical news on the homepage for free, collapse net should at least require people to have a free basic membership to view and share. Yeah, I know. Okay, so this is, I'm going to go back and read this in detail. We have been trying to find an economic model that is going to work in the rapidly changing economic world that's out here, because we have lost at CollapseNet 1,700 members who can no longer afford even $100 a year, 27 cents a day. We understand that. And what we've done at CollapseNet is, especially the ones who wrote us and said, Jesus, we love it, we just can't afford it, we've kept them on. So we tried giving away more. We tried, you know, so we're trying to find a balance that will let us eat. But these cyber attacks don't work. And we're going through some other stuff. We're adding some very carefully selected advertising. And I think one of the things I'm going to do at CollapseNet soon is to put out a request for a volunteer who really understands internet advertising. I don't know how to design a rate card or how to charge for it or anything else, but we will screen whatever we let advertise on CollapseNet. It's going to have to pass my personal sniff test. Otherwise, I won't let it be seen on my site. And so we have to figure out a way to do that and make some money. Again, we're getting 40,000 to 45,000 a day, so visitors a day. So that should help. Windermere Assassin in England, he wrote us an email, I think, on the 18th of December. We haven't been back since then, saying that Occupy London had shut down. Until we meet again, I will say to Occupy London, I have a feeling we shall meet again. Occupy London and Occupy London Stock Exchange has done, they've just done some amazing things. And Occupy there's Occupy stories every day coming out. But I think Occupy is being wise, and I think we could see a big new resurgence of Occupy in the spring, because we know that these boneheads running things out here are not going to make anything better between now and the time the buds start coming out on the apple trees. Anyway, Windermere Assassin, a.k.a. Lee Deathcare Nelson, writes, didn't catch up with you as much as I would like over the break, but damn good to have you back, buddy, with the PayPal problems you mentioned tonight. My monthly subscription to CollapseNet went out earlier this month, and I wonder if it's still okay to keep sending my subscription, or are you not receiving those payments? Can you just clarify, please? I'm glad you like Joe. He's cool. Yes. If they go through, we get them. It's just so many have been blocked. So if on your end it goes through, Joe, that should be fine. And that should set us up. All of my friends out there, you have been so helpful. Oh, we got callers everywhere. Okay, we got Al from Detroit on the phone. Al, are you there?
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
I was wondering, what do you think the chances of that war with Iran being really fought over here? I mean, they have obviously Hamas and Hezbollah supporters, and some people have said they've pre-positioned anthrax in the United States. So what do you know about that?
I don't know anything about it, but I do know that the anthrax that we had after 9/11 concentrated at 1 billion spores per gram could only have come from USAMRID, U.S. Army Research on Infectious Diseases. Our biological warfare labs, and I do not think Iran has anthrax, and I think that's probably something Fox News is throwing out, just like they threw out the anthrax after 9/11.
Okay.
The only senators that got anthrax were Pat Leahy and who was the Senate Majority Leader? Whoever it was. Tom Daschle.
Okay.
And that came from U.S. government labs.
Okay.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Oh, I just read this funny. Austin from Utah is on the phone. I love that. Austin from Utah. How did Austin, Texas get to Utah? But anyway, are you there?
Yeah, people just call me Tex.
Hey, Tex.
So anyway, I wanted to thank you, Michael. It's nice to have a website, a news site, that kind of does what Alex Jones does, but is willing to talk about, you know, real issues like peak oil and permaculture and all of these great things. It's nice because I've just kind of like forgotten about the Alex Jones InfoWars website.
Well, we really also make sure that everything we put up is accurate too, you know.
Yeah, it's a big thing. But the reason I'm calling, I wanted to discuss, I actually lost a 10-year relationship. I started doing things that people around me thought were totally crazy. I ripped up the grass in the backyard and started to permaculture the entire backyard. And I spent a lot of my money doing that. And I started putting money into things that people thought were foolish investments, just preparing myself for everything. And I associate with what Michael's saying. You know, it's really hard to potentially lose a relationship with someone you dearly love because you're standing up for your values. But I think, you know, hindsight being 20/20, that if and when collapse happens, we're not going to have children that we're going to watch starve.
Exactly.
We're not going to be living in lives that don't empower our souls and do not build us to the people that we want to be. We're not going to get stuck in a world that we hate so that we can live in a love that's probably going to deteriorate because we're not living the life of love that we want.
One of the things this is going to make us do, Austin, it's not making us choose a way of life. It's making us define what we are, who we are. And what I find, especially for now, probably the tens of millions of us in the transition movement around the world, maybe hundreds of millions, is that I cannot not be what I am. And as the decisions become more momentous and more difficult, it will force people to fundamentally decide who they are. And once that decision is made, and once you had some real good gut level sinking in of this is what I am, then everything else that stands in the way of that will have to go.
Yeah,
I think that's the way it's going to play. And I'm watching how this works, and it's going to be heartbreaking to watch this, you know, and it's going to be heartbreaking for a lot of people to go through. But this is where getting a support group is really important. And in transition towns, you've got support everywhere. Carolyn Baker, my God, she's wonderful. She writes a column on Collapse Net for us every week. We just got a new one today that should be up tomorrow. There's tons of support out here so that you don't have to feel like you're wrestling with this all alone. We've got a lighthouse directory on Collapse Net that turns you on to a lot of places, too. But you should not have nobody should have a hard time now finding a lot of people who get collapse and finding it real clearly. And, boy, when you're swimming with those fish, it feels a lot better.
Yeah. One of my I actually do YouTube videos, and one of my favorite comments on my YouTube channel, which is from someone I don't even know, I've never met, but they said, "I want to make sweet, sweet love to you in a post-oil agrarian utopia."
There you
and
go.
You know what? That's what I'm shooting for. You know,
Good.
That's the way it is, doesn't it?
All right, listen, man. I have some more things I want to get in. We're down to the last 10 minutes or so, so I should move on. But really, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Take care.
Got an email from Will Broom. Then I'm going to get to Laser from California. Oh, that'll be good. Will Broom writes, "I have followed you for over 3 years now. You have given me so much vital information. Please understand, lately I've been so depressed I can hardly get out of bed. It's this Iran thing that has me feeling hopeless. Is there any hope, any light you can shed on this? Do you think we have a year at least? Even my words are not coming out right. I'm so scared, so scared." Thank you for that. Thank you for the courage to write that. Those same kind of, I had a couple of days these last 2 weeks where I just, you know, kind of slept all day. But I allowed myself to do that because I knew it was the wintertime. And then I slowly started getting up, you know, and getting back into a physical routine and grounding. You really need to ground right now. Yeah, this is really scary. But we have no place to go. We have to ride this out. So forgive yourself for not feeling the way you think you should be feeling, but allow yourself the room to do that, because I got to tell you, this is about as depressing as it gets. So we need to honor that. And then we look around, and we, you know, what you do, I've seen many leaders in my life, you know, what you do is you watch and you see the leader get up and start to march and start to go forward and start to do things, and that's what you do. And it passes. Everything passes. That's what you got to remember. You will not be stuck in this place. And we are far from helpless. There's a ton of good things going out here. People are waking up. And you don't want to miss the ending for the movie. That's for sure. We got Greg from Bellevue, Washington. We got about 3 minutes left. Greg, how are you, man?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I just wanted to say a couple things real quick. I know you're towards the end of the show. First of all, I just got done making a PayPal payment on your site for a yearly membership, so I think that part might be working again.
Yeah.
I got the receipt from PayPal, so.
Yeah.
Another thing, also wanted to say thanks for doing what you do, and I'm glad you're back, and maybe have you comment a little bit. I can take your comments off the air about how this passage of the NDAA thing may likely or not likely affect the average American.
Okay, I'll come to that in a second, and I will have time to do that before the end of the show, although I kind of tortured poor Laser from California. I told him I was going to take his call, and I didn't. I got to make amends for that, and then I'll come back to NDAA. Laser, are you there?
Hello?
Laser, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you, man.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Okay.
Well, I'd like to thank you for the effort you put forward, and I understand the risk you're taking. And you just partially answered my question. You said there are a lot of good things going on, but I, like you, I've only been in a battle for 10 years. Anybody can Google the name Laser, Haas, and E-Toys and see the fight against Mitt Romney and Goldman Sachs. But there's 7 people dead in our case, and there are people that reach out to me all the time. How do you motivate people to not lose hopelessness? I noticed that Dr. Karen Huffer in Florida has a thing called, she's coined legal abuse syndrome, when people realize and open their eyes. And I thought until I read your book last week, my eyes were very open. And you blew my mind, and I didn't think that was possible. How do you motivate people to unify together so that we stop this and we're not an amoeba fighting a horde of Goliaths behind a steel wall throwing air at them?
I hear you. The first thing you do is understand that it is the wrong order of battle to fight this war by assuming that you have to wake up 7 billion people. That's a trap. And it's a deadly trap now, since there is no time. Think outside of the box. Let's get Buckminster Fuller, get outside of the box that we have to get 160 million Americans to sign a petition to draft the Constitution. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that with the 7 billion people in the world. What we have time to do, the tens of millions of us that are active in transition, that understand that this is the collapse of human industrial civilization, is first, we have to put on our own life, or our own oxygen mask, like the flight attendant says, you know, in the cabin, put your own oxygen mask first, because you cannot help anybody else unless you're breathing. And you can't help anybody else unless you're eating. And that starts with local food production. It starts with getting deeply involved with transition work wherever you live. There's 111 initiatives. Go to transitionus.org. It starts with preparing yourself, because these emergencies are acute and they are upon us now. What we have to do first and foremost is to make sure that we who understand what's coming here form communities, build lifeboats, tie those lifeboats together to build arcs, so that we can have communities that can ride out the chaos that is absolutely on the way. So you don't have to worry about saving, convincing 7 billion people or motivating them. What you find through CollapseNet and all the sites that we lead you to with CollapseNet is like, man, there's a whole bunch of people out here, and we're looking for more hands to join us. We're not trying to convince anybody else. We're already at work, and we're doing it.
Okay. I do thank you for your time, man. Keep
all
working.
Right. Thank you.
I'll keep following.
I got one last to read, and I can go over a couple minutes because we started. God, it's so nice to see all of you welcoming me back, so I'm not going to get to all the emails tonight, but yeah, I'm glad to be back with you guys, too. From KS, Mike, thanks for the show and everything else you do, dude. Tell that kid about permaculture. Yeah, Matthew, yes. Spending time in the garden is, especially for getting, yes, is a way to experience life on all levels. In the garden, everything from fungus to slugs to the sun and all of the cosmos work together. This is how I maintain my balance. Best of luck to all of us from Mike in Portland, Oregon. Wow. Thank you, Mike. Very, very true. And there is, again, it's kind of hard to tell people who haven't kind of tasted it yet, but once you step over to this side of the line, you start growing your own food, you start looking into sustainability, you start vibrating in a different direction, you're kind of free, more free from the fingernails on the chalkboard of the zombies out there screaming and uttering insanities and getting stupider by the minute. All right, next week, everybody, Michelle Chosadovsky. If you followed me, you got to know who Michelle is. And Michelle and I are both old farts. I don't know how old he is. I think I'm going to be 61 on February 3rd. And I think Michelle's probably pretty close to that. But this is a guy who has never hesitated in his life. And he's a professor and a great writer. To tell the truth, to tell it like it is, he doesn't hold anything back. And he's been doing some great work lately, and kind of lost touch with him for a while. But Michelle Chosadovsky is with us next week on the Lifeboat Hour, and I'm glad to be with you. We'll have some more songs. We'll have some more fun, and we're just going to get through another week of watching this crap all fall down, waiting for our chance to build something up. I'll see you on the Lifeboat Hour next week. Good night.